Ecclesiastes.
Are we reading
this
book?
No. Yay.
That book of books.
It's like leprosy.
I think in about
10 minutes.
I was like,
you know how
lava,
Ecclesiastes.
As it gets cooler.
I love this book.
Ecclesiastes. Let's see if we can let's see if we can heat it. Let's see if we can heat it up a little bit tonight then, all right?
Oh, swell.
I covered two verses.
It's Jackie's fault.
Don't get smart, Rex. Rex is...
You know what we never did? And I thought it was really cool. We never finished the end of chapter 3 when it says...
We're not there yet.
That's where we are, Moses.
Oh, okay.
Ecclesiastes 3,
Holy,
verse
don't
18.
Step on your
what?
Don't step on your
I can step in my demographics in here.
You can step on Jackie's demographics.
No, I can't. That'd hurt. Never mind. I got right, chewed out by Rex. For stepping in my demographics. Never mind. Yeah. Verse 18, I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them. The word in Hebrew is sift. That God might sift them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are of the dust, and all shall return to the dust. As again, as I told you, you can see why many, many consuls over the years have tried to get rid of the book of Ecclesiastes from the Bible. We talked about a lot of things about this verse because it's so important, about these verses. We talked last week that for the most part your judgments of life have been based on your sensory perceptions thus far. You've decided and moved through life based on a movement that has no more difference than a brute beast. You've decided who you liked, who you didn't like. You've decided what things you liked and didn't like. You've decided what things taste good and what didn't taste good, all based on a perception of the five senses. It denies grace. It denies God. And so therefore, God now in this horizon with us is saying, okay, it's time for a new thing. And the new thing is that we are no longer going to judge based on our senses. The new thing, it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. If we are one spirit, then any differences among us in the flesh have to be lies. They have to be the beast speaking. If there is any compulsion to take thought for tomorrow, to take thought for your own life, to protect yourself, it's the beast. That's a biggie. We've had a lot of meetings. For some reason, people still haven't learned. People still want to have meetings with me. What?
The fireside chat.
Yeah.
We're having meetings with
Rick, Lee.
Golly.
Gary and Judy. Harry always wants a meeting.
They're a little spiritual.
Larry, Mark
and Sergeant Ball.
Settle this argument
for us,
Sully. Settle this argument.
Who's right?
Who's better?
Judge this.
It's ironic that in the 12 labors of Hercules, which we're now soon, hopefully, we'll finish the 12th, that shows the mystery of Christ in a fuller way. Now we can see that we don't have to judge as beasts any longer. We don't have to judge by our senses.
That sounds like freedom.
That is the definition of freedom. Who the Son has made free is free indeed.
I hear that and I know that I've been seeing this lately that opinions are like this weight, this big burden on my back. And every time that I'm released from one, or I see the silliness of it and the lack of life in it. It's like,
for some strange reason, you know, like in the other, in Stealth Group, everybody that came into that group came in religion. In this group, nobody came in religion.
I don't understand.
What's the other thing?
Huh?
Nothing.
We came in something.
Nope.
In Egypt. You came directly from Egypt. You didn't go through Babylon. But it's like the biggest, the most difficult, and that's why stealth was so incredibly difficult, because they not only had all of the garbage from Egypt, they had also all the garbage from Babylon. Christ said of those that entered Babylon, he said, you shall travel over sea and land to make one convert. When they're made, you shall make him twice the child of hell that you are. You've got all these little rules and opinions, and now you've put God's name on them. Oh, boy, are you in trouble. Now you're a religious beast.
I'll move.
There's nothing worse than a religious beast. Well, some of you still have a little bit of religion, but you didn't get it in Babylon. You got it sort of visiting some of the shrines in Egypt. But anyway, another view of this 318, as I have said concerning beasts, in Leviticus, don't go there, just listen. But from the eighth day and thenceforth it may be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The offerings couldn't be accepted until the eighth day of that animal's life. And so concerning man, and in the eighth day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. The only difference between you and a beast is circumcision.
Yeah.
Now, there's four kinds of circumcision spoken of in the scriptures. And they're all necessary with regard to the revelation of the mystery of Christ in you, your real life, so that you can truly say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And the circumcisions are first of the flesh, in Leviticus 12. You want me to cut off the head of my what? Why? Why the flesh? Why the foreskin of the penis? Of all? Why didn't God say cut off the tip of your little finger? All right, you know, let's put a hole in my earlobe or something. Why the foreskin?
Something to do with strength.
Why? What is this? This is a weird question, but I always wondered, I can never figure out the spiritual type of penis. I mean, there's got to be something really wild there. I mean, what? Why is it?
You can't, in the spirit, all men are born in Egypt. You wander around the wilderness till you shed the grave clothes. Some of you go directly into the promised land, but others make a side trip to Babylon. But a man, it's not just the penis, it's the penis combined with the hormones.
Yeah.
So that you, I mean, don't you even get it, don't do you, it doesn't do you any good to have a penis if you can't do anything with it.
Right.
So that's why it says that right unto you young men. It's the time at which reproduction takes place. The mystery is that reproduction takes place from the same organ that is used to get rid of waste in both the male and the female, I mean in proximity. That's why I said, I guarantee you, if what you're sharing in the name of God is something that is life to you, you're not reproducing. It has to be something that is awesome, that is... If you run around and tell people to come to Jesus and accept him as your personal savior and your life is going to be made great, you're trying to make the penis do some other kind of work besides for what it was intended. Every one of you came here when I told you your life was garbage. There was no hope for you, i.e., the reproductive organ was the same as the organ of waste. circumcision was one of the ways that God tested man. It's the idea of putting away the filth of the flesh. We'll get into that in a little bit. Okay, so there's the circumcision of the flesh, the circumcision of the heart, Deuteronomy 16, Jeremiah 4, Romans chapter 2. Paul said, he is not a Jew whose circumcision is that outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew whose circumcision is inward in the heart. The definition of it, the way you know whether the heart has been circumcised, is that you no longer require the praise of men. No man. Now, some of you, it's like God is taking a long time to cut away the foreskin of your heart. So there's some men you don't need the praise of, but there are others that you need the praise of. And pretty soon, whap, the circumcision is complete. When the circumcision of the heart, well, really, the other one was a circumcision of the ear. That's why Christ said over and over, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. You cannot hear, you cannot have your ears circumcised except by one way. Failure. As long as you've been successful religiously, in your careers, in your marriages, in your relationships, it's impossible to have ears to hear. Because what you will hear are simply other rules that you can apply to your life to make you successful now in the name of God. That's why God said one of the two things he hated was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans are those that preach success in the name of God. Now, unfortunately, today almost everybody does that. There's almost no one that doesn't preach success in the name of God. And it's one of the only two things that God said, Jesus Christ said he hated. The other was the doctrine of Balaam, which is more obvious. That's where you mix the world system with your religion. Two things God said he hated, yet today that's almost the only two things that are done in the name of God. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So the circumcision of the ear can come only by failure. Now, Lee and I have been talking about the thing that brought him here, besides Jessica, was boredom. Well, that's the only thing that brought me to God. I didn't have any major wild failures. I was just bored. Well, bored is the worst kind of failure. At least if you're bored, I mean, if you fail and everything's going to pot, you at least have some, you know, give me some emotion, give me some response. But boredom, God Almighty, that's terrible. What?
It's existential failure.
Yeah. Now, whatever he just said. We're probably going to get a gestalt here in a minute next.
Only if you're in the top 1/10.
1/100th of 1/10 of 1%. That's the demographic. What was that?
Holding.
Amu.
Now,
he's quoting us.
The last one to be circumcised is the circumcision of the lips. That's the man we're talking. That's the one that really. That's the rite of passage in reality.
Yeah.
It's when you are so publicly identified with this doctrine into which we've been delivered, that you are so publicly identified with the cross of Christ, that you know for a certainty that your life is Christ, that that's all you speak. Never has to be worked up. Never has to be thought about. Never give thought for what you're going to say next. And you're free. Well, that's the circumcision of the lips. It can't happen until you believe. So therefore, it can't happen until you're here, heart, failure, and then all of a sudden, a mystery takes place. You wake up one morning, and you never again have the necessity to judge after the flesh. You never again think of success or failure. You never again concern yourself with whether someone is, whether being, you never again are a respecter of persons. You never need someone else's approval or praise. You live. It doesn't require any time. It doesn't require years and years of coming to stealth. It doesn't require years and years of coming to bananas. It doesn't even require Bible study. It requires the simple recognition that Jesus Christ is my life. And he's living his life, no longer just in me, but as me. Wow.
Who are you?
That's the gospel. That's the full counsel of God. But you have to, before that process can start, you have to first know that you are as a beast. You got to know that nothing you've done thus far, in the name of Bruce or in the name of Jesus, has ever worked. Would you sort of scooch a little bit, because I can't see Rex over the top of your head.
My hair
makes me nervous when I can't see Rex.
Hair. You never know what's there.
So the only difference between man and beast is circumcision. But it's a circumcision of the heart, the ears, and the lips. What does that mean?
Circumcision of the
turtle.
The rabbis say in chapter 3, verse 20, all go unto one place, all are of the dust. If Pollyanna's, all go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Don't encourage him, Jackie. Jessica, I mean. Whatever the hell your name is.
Whoever you are. Jezebel. You can just imagine that when people leave and they hear the taste.
The rabbis have said for years in the Talmud and before the time of Christ that all in heaven had their origin in heaven and all on earth had their origin in earth. Jesus said of it, no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
So it means 21.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta come to that. You gotta get to that place. You can't get there from here. Only he who came from heaven can return to heaven. I mean, it's got to have dawned on you a few times by now that your little identities are a lie. They're a lie of the Antichrist. We're going to talk more over when we get to the bigger group tonight, but do you know that it's impossible? God designed us in such a way, it's really tricky. God really snuck up on the human race. He designed you in such a way that you cannot have an opinion about yourself. You can only have other people's opinion about yourself. You understand? There is no opinion that you can have about yourself that didn't originate from someone else. So your gods aren't your identity or your what you think things should be. Your gods are what others have told you that the way things should be.
Yeah, it's like being a carbon copy.
So you're just responding to that board of directors in your head or that Sanhedrin that's telling you you should be this way or that way. Now some of you, that Sanhedrin has set. The Sanhedrin is dead, but its effective, its rulings are still in place. Now, for others of you, like Pete and Rick, Your agenda, your definition of self depends on who's the last person you talk to. You understand me? Mm-hmm. Both of them are invalid. They're both equally bad, dumb, stupid. And so when you are... The other neat, wonderful thing is that it is impossible, by definition, for that life which is Christ to have a thought about itself. Therefore, if you are thinking of yourself, it's impossible. All you're doing is responding to the board of directors in your head about what you should or shouldn't be. And they're all lies. That's why you can say with grace and authority to this Antichrist in this temple, get thee behind me, Satan, at every moment. There is no such thing as righteous introspection except to see, know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. All this other crap that people want meetings for, it's time that you put away the childish things. They have no life, no meaning. You don't analyze darkness, you don't get rid of it by analyzing it. You get rid of it by the light that lighteth all men. No man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven. That includes you. Now we are the body of Christ. Now we are members in particular. The universal body that started, as far as we know, the first member of the body was Abel. And came down through the centuries, through time, through history, through geography. This isn't the body of Christ. Nor is any little stupid building they call church. It's universal, from all time and from all places. And that which ascended, that component in these vessels that came from the Father, that came from heaven, which we call Jesus Christ in us, is that part which will make up my sister, my spouse. Now, Psalm 49. Don't go there, just something read down if you want to. But Psalm 49, verse 18, it says, "And men shall speak well of you when you do well unto thyself." Not just men that are here in this time, but the men that make up your Sanhedrin. You understand me? That when you do well unto yourself, you know that you've missed. You know it. And then you're just the Gentile mind. Now this one gets down to your short hairs. Because your sense of well-being up till this point has been when you have perceived that you have done well unto yourself. God's now saying it's time for that to be gone. I mean, am I communicating at all?
Listen, I don't know that that's always been true. I mean, most of the time it seems like if there's really been any kind of happiness, it's been in the situation of being lost in what someone else needs. I don't know, whatever, being like objective and glazed over about exclusive well-being for me or feeling like there was any joy in it. It's more like a birthday party.
Men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. That's the rule of life. You as son of man, you as that son of something, praise yourself when you think you're doing well to yourself. And we're going to talk in the next chapter, if we ever get there, we're going to find out about the fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. You don't want to do that anymore. All right. let's read the rest of it here real quick. Who's gone? Jackie. Verse 20, all go to one place, all are of the dust, all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? That's why Paul said in Romans 10, he said this incredible thing. Paul said, say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is to bring Christ down. And say not even in your heart, who shall descend into the abyss? For that is to bring Christ up, as though you could be saved by your own work. But rather say this, the word is nigh, even in your heart and in your mouth, which we speak. Now, you will come to what?
I don't think I've ever understood that.
You will come to a point where it doesn't matter to you whether you go to heaven or to hell. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether, as Paul said, it doesn't matter if he's a reprobate, he has to do the same thing. It doesn't matter if he himself could be cursed, if the brother would be saved. Now, that's a position that can only come after long, long testing. The reason is, it's in many ways a very selfish thing. Because you find this great, great mystery that I am fulfilled as I fulfill you. What happens to me is unimportant if I meet your needs. Now to the Gentile, that has sort of a idealistic sound to it. You know, it means, well, it'd be a nice thing to strive for. To the spiritual man, that's the only position there is. I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is totally unimportant. Now that's your heritage. That's where you really are right now. Your mind lies to you and says, oh, I don't understand that, or there's something goes wrong, then I'm all bent out of shape. That's not you. That's the beast component in you. The real you is fulfilled only when you fulfill others. Amen?
Yeah.
22. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? In another place it says the same thing. He says, enjoy your labors, for that is the gift of God. Now, that's kind of weird. Enjoy your labor, for that is the gift of God. That's why you tithe. You tithe so you won't believe that your labors produce the results. You got it?
Yep.
Tithing, you know, God didn't need your money. Again, you know, for your benefit, the rule of the first century church in the Didache was that if anybody came asking for money, he was to be considered a false apostle. That's pretty heavy. I mean, to say a false apostle doesn't mean that he's just slightly in error. It means he's from the opposite camp. You can't be, spiritually, you can't be a little bit wrong. It's either all right or all wrong. Not just all wrong, going in the opposite direction. That's big. It's like you can't have a little bit of faith. It's either all faith or it's no faith. But no faith means you're going in the opposite direction. All right. We're into verse 4. Anybody give us a hand? I mean, chapter 4. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. One of the rabbis, a rabbi Benjamin, he said that the verse, "and considered the oppression," interprets, though it's those who pretend to be a Bible scholar or a Talmud scholar, but are not. They wrap themselves in their coverings of scholarship, and they ape the manner of scholars. God says in Jeremiah, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." If you read the words of Christ in Matthew 23 and 24, it's like Christ gave a sermon on that, the ones that were phony Bible scholars. The phony Bible scholar is the one who only knows something intellectually. Doesn't matter even if it's right.
Well, I don't know any of those.
They had no comforter. And God, it says in the Mishnah that God spoke and said, "Their Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their cause," in Jeremiah 50. Jesus said that what is needed more than anything for us is the comforter, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. He said, in fact, if he doesn't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. But it also says when he has come, he will only show and reveal that which is Christ. Well, let's see if we can speed things up a little bit. "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter." As I said, that's no longer true. Now the oppressed are the blessed. That's really weird. Now, in the next few weeks, not just in this group, but in all of the groups, there's going to be a great deal of teaching about the Holy Spirit. And I must tell you again to forget everything that you have ever learned, because if you walk into if you come into the Holy Spirit, the understanding of the Spirit, with only the anti-Holy Spirit theology or the pro-Holy Spirit charismatic theology, you're going to get blown away. "Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." I'm gonna force myself to push through here, otherwise we'll. "Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." Now remember where it says vexation of spirit, it means chasing after wind. You know, the problem with chasing after wind is that you don't know it when you've caught it. "The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh." Now, it's one thing to eat your own flesh as you're sitting here and contemplating on all the good stuff you have done or are doing. But it's really stupid to go to the bank and spend and pay usury to eat your own flesh. Now, you are paying usury when you project yourself into the future and contemplate your good activities, your plans, and get enjoyment from that in the, from that contemplation. Now, I hate to spoil your party, but sexual fantasy is exactly that. You project yourself into a future event, or even if it's a past one, you put a future component to it. And in that fantasy, you then are spending the energy of today, spending the capital of today, of tomorrow, to enjoy the moment, and that'll be paid for. And the way it's paid for is by satiation. You know what I mean? You'll find that the next time it takes place, it needs more stimulation. Until finally, over and over and over, you are unable to give yourself sexually to the moment. You can't ever enjoy the moment. So it has to become liturgical, or everything is projection. Now, you can break that cycle. Now, some of you don't want to break the cycle because you like it. Some of you that have had credit, same thing. Credit cards are the same thing. You go and you buy something on a credit card, or you buy something and you go in debt in order to enjoy it of the moment. It eventually, the rule of 72 catches up to you. The rule of 72, interest catches up to you. Well, the same is true in your planning and your thinking. You spend it before you're going into debt to enjoy a future for the moment. And it's going to wipe you out. Now, the way of repaying that, is the understanding at some point, when it can't happen until it becomes odious. Just like you'll continue to use your credit card over and over and over until you can't pay the interest. Well, the same is true in every arena of your life. You'll continue to use this sexual credit card in your fantasies until you can't pay the interest. And you won't be able to, you can't pay the interest when what you have isn't enough. You understand? All of it, in the sickness of it, all of it crucifies the Son of God afresh. I don't think I'm communicating, but it's all right. So the fool that foldeth his hands and eateth his own flesh is in direct, if you're doing that, you cannot take communion. You cannot take the bread and the wine. The reason is that you are considering, you're getting sustenance from something other than the bread of Christ. Now, that means tonight, when you remember the whole thing about the body and the blood, the bread and the wine, what the church calls communion, is that you have to be sated, you have to be satiated in order to take it. You have to be fed up in order to take the bread and the wine. And you have to say to yourself that I no longer desire to spend future for any arena of my life. That this bread and this wine are the sufficient unto this day. When you can do that, then a mystery takes place within you. It rearranges your brain cells. But if you're the point of here is the fool that sitteth with his hands folded and eateth his own flesh cannot take the bread and the wine. Because your flesh, i.e. what you're gaining the sustenance from in your own mind, is in opposition to the bread that Christ is the sufficiency. Is there something wrong? I need to stop a minute. There's weirdness here. Daryl?
I'm weird.
You're not here.
I'm tired. I know tired is a single body, but I'm physically tired.
Anybody else?
Tired from here.
Okay.
I've been You know, I'm in a situation where I've just been running like a dog for months.
Okay. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Now, you can't tell, you could have told me that 50 billion times when I was a teenager, or when I was in my 20s or 30s, 20s. And I'd have told them they're a liar, because I had to have both hands full. I had to have all that I desired. Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do that, because others have done it.
Yeah. I mean, you can take that to its literal, you know. Working and striving for physical things, but being, but not having any peace.
Amen.
Your house can be full of silver and gold, but.
Amen. Well, we're going to spend some time in the next one. Then verse 8, excuse me. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not another. There is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good. This is also vanity, yea, it is sore travail. Now, what I'm going to say at the start will sound like blasphemy. Because he's speaking here of the one alone is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has neither brother nor son. There's no end to his labor. His eye is not satisfied with riches. Neither saith he ever, for whom do I labor? Because he and the Father are one. But then it says, this is also vanity. Uh-oh. Maybe this is somebody else except Christ. There is one alone and there's not another.
Is this like one of those translation errors?
No.
I don't really understand.
I want you to hear something clearly tonight. For the first time, I hope. That Jesus Christ didn't do man any good. Let me say it even worse. I said this in stealth, and it caused all kinds of blow-ups. Let me see if it causes any here. Jesus Christ failed. Man was first tried in innocency with Adam and Eve. Fruit of that was the fall. Now This process has to take place in history, and it has to also take place in you. Man was first tried in innocency. The fruit of the innocency is the fall. Then man was tried without the law. The fruit of that was the flood. Then man was tried with the restraints of human authority, i.e. the Noachian law, Noah's law. The fruit of that in Genesis 6:11, if you want to go to it, but don't do it now. The fruit of that was idolatry. Then man was tried with one family who he gave him a perfect law and sent his prophets. They treated the prophets shamefully. They beat and stoned them and killed them. And then he sent his son, whom they cast out and crucified. All failed. Flesh is now no more to be tested.
Wow.
It's a settled fact that it was lost and hopeless. And your baptism sealed it. Jesus Christ failed after the flesh.
Otherwise, he would have just been.
No. No, he failed in his mission to save human race. Go to Matthew 21.
The question is, question I have is if that why his crucifixion was necessary, because he did fail?
It was necessary because now, if he hadn't have been crucified, then flesh could have been bettered. The human race could have been saved.
Here's God among us. Now we'll get it right. Matthew what?
Matthew 21, verse 33. These aren't my words. This is what Jesus said about this. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more or greater than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto another husbandman, which shall render him the fruit in their season. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation or a people, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now that's the meaning. That's why Paul said, that's why Christ said, that's why Peter said, the human race cannot be saved. If the human race could be saved, the cross wouldn't have been necessary. Now his own right arm, his own Zeruah, has gotten him the victory. That's why you must finally come to the understanding that you are no more than a vessel. The human race is nothing more than a vessel, for which, if the cross is accepted, the seed of God within you will come forth and bring forth fruit automatically. To a people, a new people. A new race, a new thing, a new kind that has absolutely nothing to do with the human race. Paul said, if one died for all, then we're all dead. The human race died on the cross. Jesus Christ failed after the flesh. If he failed after the flesh, then why are you trying to perfect your flesh? It's settled forever. Your flesh is lost. It's hopeless. And anybody that tries to get you to try to do something about your flesh is trying to make a fair show in the flesh so they don't have to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You are perfect as you are. You are forgiven as you are. Complete as you are. Accepted as you are. Don't let your mind, this Antichrist, this thing that has set itself up in the temple, don't let it make that a lie. No more judging as brute beast. No more trying to perfect the flesh. Now it's only joyful abandonment, because his life is in you and for you to live as Christ. No more taking yourself so... I get so sick when you take yourself so seriously. Abandon yourself. Take no thought for yourself in any dimension. Pick up your cross and follow him. The follow him is the automatic of the acceptance of the cross.
I know what was working in me, yeah. Earlier. Lately, the last 3 or 4 days, tasks have come up that people have wanted me to do for them, and I've had to do them. But for one reason or another, I couldn't do them exactly right, or I didn't do them exactly right. And like, what that is, I want to do better, I want to get better, so I can perform the way they want to perform. But the reason they want me to perform is for them, in a sense, so they don't have to suffer persecution in their own life. But I buy it. You know, I don't say, well, okay, I couldn't do it for you, I'm sorry. I sit around and go, oh man, I couldn't do it.
Now, we are, according to Peter, we are begotten by the resurrection of Christ. Doesn't do you a damn bit of good if Christ got resurrected. Unless you know he's resurrected within you. Unless you know this is the earth in which he's resurrected. Otherwise, it's going to be another stupid religion to try to get the flesh better. Now, you know, you may not have known it, but your baptism sealed this truth. No longer, now, no longer of what we do, of what we are, but what he is. Never again necessary to put our eyes on herself. He's in us, as us. This is the gospel. It's a settled thing that man was lost, hopeless, unredeemable after they killed his son. The only thing you're now, the only thing you're called forth to speak is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. To point out to people how worthless they are. You don't have to get it right. That's pretty easy to talk about. Oh, but I don't have the right words. Wait, you.
Never want to think about it a lot.
The right words about the wrong thing.
What, you can't describe garbage? This is in contrast. This is why this mode of thinking is so totally radical. It's in contrast to all religions, all philosophies, all economics, all science, all sociology, all psychology. There is nothing, there is no ally to what we say. None. All of those things aim somehow subtly at improvement of the flesh. It's a settled thing. The flesh is hopeless. Never again to be tested. Never again to be tried. I don't want to hear anything more about, well, I'm suffering because God is testing me. No, he's not. Are you feeling bad for some reason? Then be in agreement with the Son. Father, my soul is troubled. As Son of Man, he spoke it. Moment of confusion. What shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No. For this hour came I unto the world. What hour? The hour in which you're suffering any kind of self introspection. The moment you know for that hour came you unto the world, then the grace of God will pour out on you like a flood and you'll forget yourself. The moment you try to analyze it, get it right, do something about it, lean on your own arm of understanding, study the Bible even, read the scriptures even, go to Bible study even, all of them will just minister to flesh. Flesh is irredeemable. Your mind must be crucified. Your heart must be circumcised. Your lips must be circumcised. It's the thing that you're trying to avoid, the failure that brought you to this understanding in the first place. Now you despise it. Now you're trying to build back up that which God has destroyed. You want to know something really dumb? To build something that God has destroyed. Now, only the people of the way understand this. First century church didn't call themselves Christians. We are people of the way. We know God's never going to show us the truth. He is the truth. He's never going to give us life. He is life. Christ in you, the hope of glory, period. I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I that live, but Christ who liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Period. Amen? You understand Jesus Christ failed? All you have to do is look around. You call this success? Now, that one will get you crucified. You go down to the corner Baptist church or the corner charismatic church or the corner any church and tell them Jesus Christ failed. You see, that's not what you're called to tell them. You're only called to tell them they're a pile of shit. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. What? You look weird again.
Well, I'm just thinking it's no wonder that in Russia people get locked up as they're certifiably crazy if they're believers. Because this is certifiably crazy by the system.
Anybody have anything else? Good. Take a big guy. Bye.